John chapter 7. Again, I think we ran out of notes tonight, so if you don't, look on a friend's notes. Again, for those that are interested, we are passing out the notes so you can compile those in a notebook. The objective, I want to remind you of the objective, is that each believer in this room, that you would have someone that you're discipling. And I'm suggesting the Gospel of John. And so there'll be a message online. There'll be notes to follow. You don't have to do it the way I do, but it will be a guide. And so I want you to pray about that and seek that. And it is interesting. I think God has given us disciples one by one. You're back from Hawaii. And so it's good, right? And don't get nervous, right? And the Lord will do it. Remember this. We receive not because we ask not. Are you asking God to give you a disciple? Are you asking God to give you a soul? And He delights in that. And He will, and it'll change your life. Your life will never be the same. And because it is the core of the Christian life, is that we teach others. John chapter 7, I'm going to read a lengthy passage again tonight, about 21 verses, a couple of columns in my Bible. We're going to look at John chapter 7, verse 32 to 53. We'll finish the chapter, Lord willing. Last Sunday night, we talked about the world hates Jesus. We saw how it was including His family, His brethren in John chapter 7, verse 5. It said, neither did His brethren believe in Him, and they mocked Him. We saw that it was the political leaders of the day. We see that summed up in verse 13. Howbeit no man spake openly of Him, of Jesus, for fear of the Jews. Feast of Tabernacles, it was a 7-day feast, and Jesus went up in secret at the beginning, then He burst in the middle of the feast and He's in the temple. Then we see the religious leaders when Jesus says, you know, why do you seek to kill Me? And they go, who's trying to kill you? 5 verses later we see that people are going, isn't this the guy that they're trying to kill? Division, the religious leaders, they hated Him. And Jesus then just highlights the confusion that they had. We'll see more of this confusion, but part of it is division that Jesus purposefully causes. Let's look at verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Him. Let's go back one verse and see what they murmured. And many of the people believed on Him, on Jesus, and said, when Christ cometh, will He do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Then they respond to verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto Him that sent Me. You shall seek Me, and shall not find Me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will He go, that we shall not find Him? Will He go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that He said, you shall seek Me and shall not find Me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come? Verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet, capital P. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of Him. And some of them would have taken Him, but no man laid hands on Him. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought Him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on Him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, being one of the Pharisees, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house. Title of the message tonight, The Divisive Christ. The Divisive Christ. I get that from verse 43. It says, so there was a division among the people because of him. You'll see in your notes, I want you to look at a few passages that really help us understand. And I want us to understand this because the truth will set us free. It's not only the truth of that'll bring us to salvation, but it's the truth that'll help us understand Christianity. It'll help us understand our lives after we're saved. And so, look in your notes at Matthew chapter 10. If you don't have the notes, turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to read verse 34 to 42. And I want us to understand this, and then there's another great passage in Luke that's also in your notes, Luke chapter 12. But Matthew 10, verse 34. It's interesting that the world is shocked, the world is surprised that Christ would bring division, that Christ would, there would be issues when people truly believe and truly follow Jesus Christ. It is a reason that many reject Jesus. You understand the pressures in cultures, the Hindu culture. If you turn and become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a true believer in Jesus Christ, at best, you will be disowned. At worst, you will be physically persecuted, and some even unto death. You talk about the same in the culture of Islam. If you truly surrender to Jesus as God in the flesh, and you recognize that Jesus, God Himself, died and rose again, you obliterate and you deny the holdings of Islam, well, you will suffer the consequences dearly. The same with Judaism. Jews, you understand Jews, it's not as much today, but even back, some of you remember this. Some of you, have any of you ever seen, whether it was, you knew of it, a funeral service that wasn't because someone died from a Jewish family when one of theirs converted to Jesus as Messiah? They've done that. And that's not as much today, but they would treat you as dead if you recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the prophet that the Old Testament spoke of throughout the centuries. You understand it's the same. It's why are most people what they are? Most people are what they are because that's the way they were raised. You know, I want to make sure that you understand this. First and foremost, why are you even claiming to be a Christian? Is it because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it because you truly love Him? You realize that you personally sinned against a holy and righteous God and the only way to satisfy His wrath was through the righteousness of Christ, and the only way to receive that is by faith. See, it's personal. I'm convinced, you know why most people are Baptist? Because they were raised Baptist. I'm not convinced most people are Baptist because they're Baptist by conviction. You can be a Baptist and go straight to hell. Remember this, it is difficult. It is a challenge. When you will completely commit to Christ, there will be division. There will be challenges. Let's look at Matthew 10, verse 34. Let's read that. Jesus says this, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now I pause because you hear me say this regularly. The goal of Jesus in the life of a believer is what? Is peace. You can have peace through turmoil. Don't misunderstand peace to mean there won't be any conflict, to mean there won't be any division, to mean there won't be any problems, but you can have peace in the problems, peace in the division, peace in the conflict, because when we are right with God, that's all that matters. So, now look at this, where he says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. What's the sword about? Verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I do love the completeness of the scriptures. You must understand this. So Cleve, I love you. You know, I count you as a friend, right? You understand that. It's just so fascinating, right? I've known you now maybe 3 months. Is that right? 2 months? So Cleve, I want you to understand this, that I'm trusting that God's going to save you, right? And so I'm not trying to make everything too public here, but too late. But when he does, there's probably going to be division in your family with friends and loved ones because suddenly your purpose, your desires, your direction will change. It doesn't mean that you then mistreat them, that you then stop loving them, but there'll be division. And so that's a challenge, is it not? Because what do we want? We want our families all to be united and brought together, but many times that doesn't happen. There's many that could give testimonies here that the Lord does repair and the Lord does do amazing works, but many in this room, you can testify how that it causes problems. It's caused problems for me. Let me just be clear about this. I'm convinced in my own life I caused most of my own problems. Because I was too aggressive. And Don, well, no surprise. Don's been with me in certain situations and I bemoan that, right? I have spent years just trying to love my family without beating them up over the head with a club. I am better at beating people up over the head with a club. I'm pretty good at it. But that's not Christianity. What I must understand, though, is there's going to be division. Look at Luke 12, verse 49 to 52. It says here, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Jesus is talking about this cup of wrath that he must be immersed in of the Father. And it's when he says, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? It's beyond our comprehension what Jesus did. He says in verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. Three against two, and two against three. Some would say, why would you preach this? That's not fun. That's not happy. But it's truth. Don't you love this? It's, we need to go into things understanding what reality is so that we're not surprised, and so that then we gently let the Lord do His work, but you don't be surprised when it causes division. Don't be surprised when it divides families. Don't be surprised when it will split homes. Because you can't be united if you're going that way and they're going that way. It just doesn't work. But you still need to love them. You still need to be kind. You still need to pray for them and ask God for open doors and be ready always to give an answer and to just have great pity on them, because without Christ they have no hope but hell. But there's going to be great division. And there was division even in John chapter 7. Let's turn back to John chapter 7. I'm just going to break this down into five thoughts this evening in verse 32 and 36. But there was great confusion here over Jesus' future, over His future. It says here in verse 32, it says, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning Him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. I want you to keep in mind verse 32, because it really comes back later. So the Pharisees now send officers to arrest Jesus. And they do that, and we're going to come back to that later in this passage. But we will forget about that if you're not careful. That's what's fun about your Bible. What I'd probably do in your Bibles is I would probably put in your notes verse 45 and 46 next to verse 32 so you don't forget it. As Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story is in verse 45 and 46. And so I can see the teenagers like, who's Paul Harvey? Some old guy that, and that's the rest of the story. Okay, I'm aging myself. So he says here, and so they send these officers, and then Jesus begins to speak. Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto Him that sent me. Speaking of His ascension, He will bodily ascend to heaven after the resurrection. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. Look at the Jews' great concern. Their great concern was, and it was their jealousy. Look at this in verse 35. Whither will He go that we shall not find Him? Will He go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? They weren't really worried about where Jesus would go, but they were worried about, you know, that He would go to their enemies, the Gentiles, and that He would share this. Is He going to the Gentiles? What's He doing? They were confused. What manner of saying is this that He said, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. I want you to understand this as well. Not only will being a true believer, a true follower in Jesus Christ cause issues, don't be discouraged about that. If I could tell you this, we don't try to cause division, or I'm encouraging you not to try to cause division. But when division occurs, when they go, you know what? You're crazy. I mean, my family for a long time, and you know, I like to talk. So, you know, there's a fish called a sucker fish. So I don't use the word that you're a sucker. I don't use that. But I was a sucker fish. And a sucker fish, and I don't fish. I've caught one fish. Thank you, Blake. I appreciate that. And so, you know, Blake felt bad. He said, you know, I want to be fishers of men. I've caught more men than I've caught fish. I praise the Lord for that. I want it to go that way when I die. And so, it's, you know, a sucker fish. My family, I'm telling you, they did this. Maybe some of you understand this. They would say something. And I would bite. And they would act innocent. I don't know why you're all upset. And all bent out of shape. And every time, and here's what it became. I would tell Deb this. I said, I have one goal today. Is stay out of trouble and not get upset. That's it. That's success. And then they would, I'd be like, and they would do that. They would bait me. And I've learned, you know, I'm convinced of this. I used to think, so this will help you. I used to think they did it on purpose. I don't think they were even aware that they were doing it. That helped me a ton. When I thought they were doing it on purpose, club. You know? But after I realized, they're probably not. Because I've watched them. They just don't know. You see, we have to be on our toes and know that there's going to be division. But secondly, it's this. Many will not understand. And don't be frustrated with that. Share the truth. Share it in love. And trust the Lord. See, the gospel's more powerful than anything you and I can understand. I don't think, would you want to mess with nuclear energy? You know anything about nuclear energy? Just not something to mess with, right? Because it would what? It would kill you. The gospel, nuclear energy is a joke compared to the gospel. When you share the gospel, let the Lord do a mighty work. And trust the Lord in that work. Don't be discouraged if people don't understand. Jesus didn't let it deter him. You see, when we understand that, we don't get frustrated. We're like, you know, and you don't say, well, I know why you don't understand. Just keep on sharing the truth. Keep on sharing the truth. You know, understand there's going to be division. Understand people aren't going to realize that Jesus is alive. He resurrected from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father today. And he's alive. You see, it's a great distinction of true Christianity. My God loved me. My God died for me. My God lives for me today. I love that. There's no other religion in the world. I love talking to Hindus. I'll say, which of your gods died for you? And they'll be like, Because there's so many, they don't know them. I'll say, which God died for you? They don't know. I'll say, which God loves you? They don't know. I'll say, what's the last thing your God told you? They don't know. You see, what I love about true Christianity is, it's a real personal relationship. And he talks to me every day. Isn't that good? You see, don't be intimidated when people, they want to cap on the Bible. They want to say, oh, it's just a book written by men. No, we serve a big enough God. He preserved it and he talks with us. Isn't that good? And just delight in that. But don't be frustrated when people don't understand, right? Just keep on witnessing. Keep on loving them. Keep on sharing it, right? It's amazing. Nobody knows. Talk to a young man this afternoon. The people have the craziest questions, right? So we were at La Pinata forever. It's the longest lunch I've ever had. And it was so long, I ate so many chips. By the time my fajita stuff came, I'm like, I'm not hungry. I'll just pay for the Diet Mountain Dew. No, I didn't do that. I wanted to. But I ate so many chips, right? So I started talking to these young men afterwards. They were just enthusiastic young men. Hispanic young man, just, you know, just full of life and full of energy. And I said, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Ooh, I don't know. I think so. I said, well, how are you going to get there? And they pointed and there was an idol of Mary on the wall. I said, she ain't going to get you there. And they go, she's not. And I said, no, she's not. I said, well, do you know how to get there? They said, no. And, you know, we'll see. I said, hey, I want to have a Bible study with you guys. And so I kind of found the ringleader and I gave me my card, and I said, you call me. Will you call me? He said he would. We'll see. Maybe they'll help me learn my Spanish. And I'll help them learn about the Lord. But this guy here, it's just crazy, right? You just deal with this, right? He goes, I've got a question for you. I thought, ooh, it's a good one. You know, what must I do to be saved? that's what I was hoping. No, yeah, that'd be good. You know, and so don't get overly discouraged. Because he goes, what about exorcism? And I'm like, what about exorcism? And I said, well, you know, ask me if I care. And so you have to act like you care. And I told him, I said, well, demon possession's real. I said, it's absolutely real. And it's not something to be made light of. And I said, in fact, I'll show you in the Bible where demon possession is real. And we began to talk about it. But, you know, people just don't know, right? This guy headed to hell. He wanted to know about exorcism. And you know what? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to share Christ with him. Here's the reality. I want you to know this. I don't care if they're here illegally or not. That's not my job. I want to reach them for Jesus Christ. And so I don't worry about that. Legal or illegal, I want them to come to hope. I want to preach the gospel to them. But don't be surprised when they're confused. But you need to preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he is alive and that he ascended to the Father, and stand for that truth because it's a critical truth. People will be confused about that. Now, there's this great passage here. I want you to look at verse 37 to 39. A lot of confusion. I'm going to touch on it tonight. I'm not going to dwell on it tonight because I'm going to dwell on it in particularly when we get to John 14, 15, and 16, okay? And then particularly in 16 and 17, those chapters, 14 through 17, really are the final discussion Jesus has before he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. But let's look at this, and I want you to chew on it. Verse 37 says, in the last day of the feast. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, so imagine this, Jesus, if any man, he's crying, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, I love it. It gives us an understanding. What is that about? Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, boy, when you see that here, you're like, Number one thought that people have. The Holy Spirit wasn't in you as a believer. False. So I want you just to pause there. What does it mean when it says the Holy Spirit was not yet given? Was the Holy Spirit around? Was the Holy Spirit active? Would you just look at your notes there? The Holy Spirit was mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. Well, in fact, he was mentioned in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. The word Elohim is a plural form of the word God, correctly translated singular God. It's a beautiful word that embodies the Trinity that we can't understand. We just know how it's revealed and we believe it. And so, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then, look at Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. The pronouncement of God right before the calling of Noah, and Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. I believe that's dealing with it was 120 years before the flood would come. Look at Job chapter 26, verse 13. By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens, and his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. I love this. You have in the Bible that all three persons of the Trinity, the singular God, three persons, they're all credited with the creation. We saw in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it says that all were created by Him and for Him. Credits Jesus with the creation. Everyone credits God the Father with the creation. Verses such as this credit the Holy Spirit with that. Look at Job 33:14. He says, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Job understood that. I'm convinced that Job 33:4 even deals with the Spirit of God involved in his salvation. I want you to know, I'm not going to overwhelm you tonight. We'll get into it deeply in John 16 and 17. But let me tell you my hypothesis. I just want to tell you my hypothesis, and I believe the scriptures validate it. My hypothesis is this. Salvation has always been the same and by the same means. I believe that. There's nothing in the Bible to indicate otherwise. So salvation, conviction, who convicts? The Holy Spirit. Who quickens the dead soul? The Holy Spirit. Who seals the born-again believer? Who indwells the born-again believer? And I want to tell you, the born-again believer better be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, or you have no hope to do what's right. That's been the same throughout all history. So now, what is this dealing with? And so when it says in verse 39, I appreciate the thought. I don't want you to necessarily agree with me tonight, but I want you to know this. When it says the Holy Ghost was not yet given, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit had been out of commission until after Jesus ascends. We know that's not true, right? So that's important. When it says he was not yet given, well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he wasn't existing. It doesn't mean that he wasn't involved. It doesn't mean that he wasn't active. So what does it mean? Now, I will tell you what I believe it means. I believe it means when it speaks of this, Because when it says, look at verse 39, the Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. After Jesus was glorified and ascended to the Father, what happened less than a week after he ascended to the Father? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's an external. Baptism's always external, not internal. The baptism with the Holy Spirit happened, I believe it only happened twice in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. It was the empowerment of the Lord's church at Jerusalem to transition the Jews away from the temple, which he destroyed in less than 40 years later, and would worship him through his institution, the church that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. When it talks about the Holy Ghost not yet given, I know, and there are some challenging verses in John 16. We'll look at all those. But I don't want you to run with this. I haven't yet proven it, but I want you to be comfortable with the work of the Holy Spirit regarding salvation. I want you to look at the back page of your notes. I'm going to give you just a hint, and I've got much more work to do later, but I didn't want to belabor this point tonight because I will preach John 16 and 17 when we get there. Look at Psalm 51:11. David, in this great psalm of repentance, in his brokenness, his contrite spirit, as he is confronted and turns from his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, killing of her husband, he says this, he's speaking to the Lord. He's just being honest. He says, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David, the Holy Spirit couldn't be taken from him, but let me tell you this. You ever felt like he could? You ever felt like you are just unworthy? And I love this. David just talked to the Lord and he knows this. David always comes to right conclusion, but he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because of this, if the Holy Spirit can be taken from you, you're in trouble. But it can't. And so look at Numbers chapter 27, verse 18 in your notes. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. I want you to know this. It's interesting. I've read some commentaries and they'll tell you this. They'll say, well, some men were indwelled by the Holy Spirit, but those were the special guys. Joshua, Moses, Daniel. You know, I love this. Was it you, Don, that asked me about the Holy Spirit coming upon? Who was it that asked me recently? Maybe it wasn't you, but it was talking about an external coming upon them, right? And so when the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson, it was an external empowerment of Samson. It wasn't, and when it says the Spirit departed, it wasn't talking about within. It was talking about a special anointing upon Samson that made him like a superhero. I mean, there's no superhero that could match Samson. And so when the Holy Spirit was upon him, and the Bible uses that term, but when the Holy Spirit departed, it wasn't dealing with the indwelling, it was dealing with the external supernatural power that was given to Samson to overcome the Philistines, the enemy of the Israelites. Look at Nehemiah 9:30. It says, yet many years didst thou forbear them and testified against them by thy Spirit in thy prophets. Oh, so people say, see, it was just in the prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. I want to challenge you. If you want to conclude that it's the Holy Spirit just indwelled the prophets, you're going to struggle. What did that mean? The Holy Spirit has always been the same Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Peter 1:11, look at this. He says, and this is a great verse. I want you to take note of this, these next two verses. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. I want you to see, this is dealing with the Old Testament saints that were searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. Speaking then of the Old Testament, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. All I want you to do is, I don't want you to believe that there's some difference. Now, I do want you to understand this. When it says the Holy Spirit was not yet given, is there something the Holy Spirit was going to do that he hadn't been doing before? Yes or no? You've got a 50-50 chance. Let me ask that question again. No, that's the 33% chance, 50-50. All right. When the Bible says the Holy Spirit is not yet given, is this a lot of pressure? Okay, everybody look away. Just assume me and Nolan. Do you want me to pick somebody else? Oh, you do. Okay. I don't want... All right. You're not allowed to skirt this. When it says the Holy Spirit was not yet given, does that mean that there was something that the Holy Spirit was going to do that He hadn't been doing before? Yes, all right! Woo. And I love the way you said that with confidence. Yes, right? The answer is yes. The Holy Spirit would have a special work of coming alongside the Lord's churches to empower them. It'll help you understand why when someone's removed from membership, why that they're given more access to the flesh, the devil has more access to their flesh because they're not in the protective body that the Holy Spirit is coming alongside. That's what paraclete means. There would be a special ministry of the Holy Spirit. Understand this. The Holy Spirit couldn't come alongside the Lord's churches until they existed. Jesus established the first one at Jerusalem, and then He was going to proliferate the world with them, and boom. He empowered the first one at Jerusalem, and then in Acts 10, He was letting them know it's also for the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit was not yet given. Doesn't mean they weren't indwelled, but there was something that was going to happen that those believers would receive. Now, let's quickly, if you'll allow me to, I want you to look at verses 40 through 44. Let's look at this, and I'll hasten. I'm not to a close, but I'll move it. I'll move it. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." What I love is, look at your Bibles. I've referenced this before. I just want you to know, when it speaks of the prophet, capital P, it refers to Deuteronomy 18. Moses speaking of Jesus, that prophet that would be in the midst of them. And that's where that comes from. I won't necessarily read that tonight, but I want you to have the evidence. So if people are saying, what's that, the prophet? And others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? You see, because Nazareth is where Jesus grew up. It was his hometown. And so when Mary and Joseph, they traveled down to Bethlehem, their hometown was Nazareth. But they went to Bethlehem, and that's where, you know, Mary's like, oh, you know, she had the baby there, labor pains. And so, I want to prove that to you, Jesus was from Bethlehem. It was foretold in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, look at that. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto thee, unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. You can also see why there'd be a little confusion with the Jews. They were expecting Jesus to rule at that time. He was not going to rule until later. But look at Luke 2. It explains this. You know this. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. So they left Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea. So Galilee is northern Israel, Judea is southern Israel, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So he is of Bethlehem. Look at verse 42 in John 7. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Yeah, he did. He was born in Bethlehem, but now he also came of the seed of David, the tribe of Judah. I've got those references. Genesis 49:10 said, the scepter, the ruling scepter, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, a reference to Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Isaiah 11:1 said, and there shall come forth a root, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And then I just made reference for you the two genealogical records, one of Joseph and Matthew. The Bible, I love God, He's so complete, that in case there was any question, Joseph was of the line of David and Mary was of the line of David. I don't think Joseph had to be. Okay, he must have had to be, maybe, because God did that, but Joseph wasn't his dad. Mary was his mother. She was of the line of Judah, and Joseph was of the line of Judah, just in case you wondered. But there was confusion. There was confusion. So I want to remind you from last week, look at what it says here in verse 27. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is. Well, then they disagree with themselves later. They say, doesn't he come out of Bethlehem? Isn't he of the seed of David? And Christ met all of that criteria. Then quickly, just two things that are just powerful. Verse 45 and 46 are some of my favorite verses of simplicity in the Bible. Remember, it connects back to verse 32. Let's look at verse 32. After Jesus is getting the people excited, some not. It says, the Pharisees heard in verse 32 that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Now let's see, these officers weren't used to not accomplishing their task because there was quite a steep penalty for that. And then verse 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they said unto them, why have you not brought him? Then answered, the officers answered, never man spake like this man. One of the most thrilling parts about being in heaven will be hearing Jesus preach. And we will say, what did I do to get Steve as a pastor? And I will love this. I'll say, whoa. I'll be going to the school of embarrassment that I was a pastor when I hear Jesus speak. Never man spake like this man. I'll tell you, it'll never get old. For all eternity, it'll be okay if all I ever do is just hear Jesus preach. We'll never, ever stop learning. Oh, do you think the Bible teaches that you will be omniscient when you get to heaven? Is that what you thought? Did you think you'd be omnipotent when you get to heaven? We will be like him, but you will not be God. We will be learning. We will love to learn. And it'll be never ending. And you know who the teacher's going to be. You know, I mean, I'll be like, hey, can I teach a class? Can I teach a class? And so, you know, I'm teaching the class and Jesus is teaching the class and nobody will show up in my class. Even after a billion years. Because my wife won't be my wife anymore. There'll be no marriage or giving in marriage. And she's like, I don't have to submit to you. I'm going to see your Jesus. My wife might be so kind that she would just sit there and suffer. And then she'd just have them tape what Jesus said. There's going to be nothing like it, folks. Never man spake like this man. You know, I don't have to have a superhero, but I have a superhero and he's called Jesus. And I will tell you, never man spake like this man. Are you looking forward to hearing Jesus speak? Are you looking forward to hearing Jesus speak? Is that going to be like one of the most exciting things you could ever do? You really believe that? You really believe that hearing Jesus speak will be one of the greatest things you could ever do? Then how come you don't study your Bible every day? You see, Don's like, why me? Why me? Because you can handle it. You see, there's no book like this book. No book was like this book. I do want to hear him verbally, and I can't wait. And he will expound like nobody's business. Eric and I were talking this afternoon, and we were joking that I got through roughly 5 of the 16 characteristics of a pastor, a bishop, and Eric's like, well, I would have still been on verse 1. Jesus would be expounding on, you know, verse 1 for maybe a couple decades, and it would be delightful. We say we can't wait to hear Jesus speak. When we come to church, I love a red letter edition Bible too. Read your red letters. Never man spake like this man. If we get a hold of that and we realize what a privilege. You know, for most of history, people didn't have a Bible in their home. What a privilege to have a Bible in our home. What a joy to have the power of God's Word. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The truth will set you free, and we have it abundantly. Yet we aren't that excited, are we? Me included. But if I get it right, never man spake like this man. This is where it's at. Final thought. No man will rescue Jesus from the cross. I love this passage. It's so real. It's so human. Poor Nicodemus, the man that will always be identified by the one that came to Jesus by night. Do you know that's what we're going to call him when we get to heaven? Hey, Doubting Thomas. Hey, thanks. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, hey, Nicodemus, are you the one that came to Jesus by night? Duh, it's on my head. You know, a little sign. I'm the one that came to Jesus by night. I love when the Bible just gives these descriptions. I'm convinced Nicodemus was born again. And so Nicodemus, you guys ever try to witness to somebody? You're like, you're all nervous, right? It's just, it's good. Nicodemus was going through that same thing. I can't wait to see this. Nicodemus. They said, are you also deceived? And Nicodemus was like, I love Jesus. You know, I'm going to stand up for him right now. Voice was probably shaking. Here he said this. Look at this. They said, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? You know, Nicodemus is like, I have. And the Holy Spirit's like, well, say something then. He's like, no, not today. Not today. The door is not open. And the Holy Spirit's like, meek. Then you know the door is open. It's so obvious. Nicodemus is like, no, no, no. I mean, and you know, that's in verse 48b. 49. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And Nicodemus knows, no, they're not. I'm blessed. Nicodemus said unto them, you talk about great courage. I love this. I don't think I've ever had the courage of this man. We do not understand. This would be like sort of, I remember the first time when I started working for Procter & Gamble, just a 21-year-old kid, you know, I was in my meeting. You guys probably can't imagine this now, but I was in my first meeting the first week. Just sitting there. Boring, man, just boring. I mean, you know, if there's one thing about business, it's like they know how to do horrible meetings. And it's just like, oh, this is so boring. But I just made a couple hundred bucks. That's all right. And so I'm sitting there. And so, you know, they were looking for participation because I knew participation. It got me some points in school. I think I'll participate. I didn't know anything, you know. I didn't know anything. So I was like, oh, you know, participate. And I remember I participated and I remember I tried to talk and it was like, oh, that. My voice was shaking and it was like, fail. I was nervous to talk about things about money. Nicodemus, his whole life was at risk. And what he says here, and I love this, he is standing up for Jesus. Verse 51, does our law judge any man before it hear him? Know not what he does. That's a big deal. You know, if there is one thing we are called to do as believers, testify of Jesus. And Nicodemus got the big old opportunity. Are there any rulers of the Jews that believe? And he's like, and he stood up for Jesus, and then look at their response. And Nicodemus went home kicking himself, I'll guarantee you. And they said, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. You know what I love about Nicodemus? He was there at the cross of Jesus. He failed in John chapter 7. He tried. Don't you love that? So I love the Lord was like, yeah, it's good, Nicodemus. The Lord was encouraged. The Lord loved Nicodemus. Nicodemus went home that night licking his wounds and going, I believe Nicodemus probably did some studying. No prophet comes out of Galilee, but so Jesus must have come out of Judea. He began to study. He began to learn. I've been chewed up and spit out so many times, I can't tell you. Go home. hope it's not pride that I'm motivated by. I hope it's that I'm ready to give an answer the next time somebody asks a question that I wasn't ready for. Nicodemus was ready. He was at the cross of Jesus, the most dangerous place to be. Jesus was dead. They didn't quite understand that 3 days later he wouldn't be dead. But Nicodemus loved him so much, he said, I don't care what you say. I love this man. And he took all risk. But you know what I love about Nicodemus? He tried and he failed. And he didn't quit. You're going to try and you're going to fail, but don't quit. The final thought is, no man was going to rescue Jesus from the cross. You've just got to understand that. Don't be surprised. You know, I love Nicodemus. You know what he did? He stood up for Jesus without thinking. Was he expecting him to go, you're right. Let's talk to Jesus about it. You know what he did? He said, God wants me to tell people about Jesus. Does the law judge any man before he's brought before us? When they challenged him. Christ brings division. I just want you to know this. I want to challenge you tonight. What a joy to be a Christian, is it not? There's just nothing better. You know what I love about church services? We forgot about that the last time we were here, didn't we? I don't know what your chaotic life was like. What's happened in your life. Just, you know what? Everything under the sun, right? Distraction after distraction. I just want to remind you, we live to lift up Jesus. Never forget it. People will be confused, but many will believe.